I appreciate them willing to help us with that song. That's just a beautiful song. I heard that a couple days ago, and I thought, man, that's beautiful. And something I wanted us to be able to learn. Take your Bibles and go to the book of 1 Corinthians with me. Excuse me, 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We'll begin reading in verse number 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 12, and we'll read down to verse number 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and we'll read verses 12 down to verse number 15. I want to encourage you to read that together with me. We'll read it corporately out loud together. If you don't have a Bible, the words will be up on the screen. But let's read just these four verses together, verses 12 through verse 15. But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Let's pray. Father, again, we do thank you for just the opportunity we have to worship you this morning. Lord, thank you for just the beautiful songs that were sung today. Lord, not in just how they were sung, but Lord, the words of the songs. And Lord, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you that if we know Jesus Christ as our Savior, that we belong to you. And Lord, you've made us new in Christ. And Father, I pray that you would just work in our hearts this morning. And Lord, just draw us to yourself. Lord, just help us not to just listen to what you have for us today. But Lord, help us to apply the truths that we'll be looking at in your word. And Lord, just help us to live them out in our daily lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I knew today was going to be a great day because it's always a great day to be at First Baptist Church on Sunday. And I'm telling you, listen to the choir. I know there's a lot of churches that don't have choirs and things anymore, but our choir is not a huge choir, but I would say our choir is good. And we'd put our choir up against any choir, and they just sing great, and you guys sing out great, and the young ladies this morning singing the song, and I just knew today was going to be a good day. I was driving into church this morning up on 127, and I just passed Consolidated, and I was kind of going over, there's a little creek there, I was going over the bridge there right after Consolidated, and as I was driving, there was a bald eagle that flew right across. And I was like, man, you don't see bald eagles very often. And I thought that was just beautiful. And as I saw that, the Lord just kind of spoke to me and gave me this revelation. And, the bald eagle represents freedom. And I thought, man, that's pretty cool. The bald eagle represents freedom. And it was flying from east to west. And I was on 127, and God just kind of spoke to my heart, and he said, in 127 days, there's going to be freedom and revival breaking out all across America from east to west. I didn't hear anybody say amen. I was really trying to get through that without... Some of you are like, what is he doing? I did not have a vision this morning. I was traveling on 127. I did see a bald eagle, and he was going east to west. Everything else I just made up. I have no idea if there's going to be a revival in America in 127 days. I have no idea if it's going to start in the east and go. I just made it up. Say, why? Because of the passage we just looked at. Because of the passage we just read, that you just read. I hope you read it with me. We just read this passage. Paul, in this passage here, continues his defense of his apostleship by exposing those who sought to undermine him in Corinth, the church that he's writing. these false teachers claim to represent Christ. But their motives were very selfish. Their message was distorted. And so Paul is unmasking their deceit, and he's reminding the believers that not everything that looks righteous truly is righteous. Now, please do not go home and say, "Pastor's having revelations and things." Okay. It was an illustration, right? And I think you'll see that tie in a little bit here. But in this passage, in these couple of verses here, I think we see something that we need to be aware of in our society today. And I'm not talking about the world. I'm talking about Christians. I'm talking about churches. And that is the devil in disguise. The devil in disguise. And this is what this passage really is speaking about here. And Paul is again, he's doing this, as we see, first of all, his purpose in writing this is for the protection of the church. He's concerned about the church of Corinth because these false teachers have come in. And so he's writing here to protect the church. He says in verse 12, "But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion." He said, "Hey, you may not understand what I'm doing here, but there's a reason why. There's a reason why I'm bringing these things out here." And again, it's just amazing how God always ties things together in the choir, just saying, "Preach the word," right? And that's what we're just going to look at the word this morning. We're going to preach the word of God. And I hope that we will learn from it. Hope we'll glean from it. But Paul says, my purpose is to protect the church. He says, I'm concerned about you because of these false teachers coming in. Remember, Paul has just shown us in verses 5 through 11, as we saw a couple weeks ago, that ministry is about serving. It's to be motivated out of our love for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not about money, and it reflects the love of Jesus Christ, which was just the opposite of what these false teachers were doing. And so Paul says, I have no regrets in calling them out. I have no regrets in calling them out. And you're gonna see here, he's gonna use some pretty harsh words. When Jesus would ever confront many of the religious leaders of the day, again, we're talking religion, religious leaders, Jesus used some pretty harsh words: vipers, hypocrites. Nobody likes to be called those things. But especially if you're somebody, "Hey, I'm a religious person. I'm a religious leader," to be called a hypocrite, to be called a viper, a snake in the grass. It's pretty harsh. Now we're going to see Paul uses some pretty harsh words about these false prophets as well. But he says, "Hey, what I'm doing, I'm not ashamed of what I'm doing." He says, "I'm doing this because I am concerned about the church. I'm concerned about the purity of the gospel and the gospel message of Jesus Christ." He says, I have no problem in what I'm about to do here. He says, "What I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we." Again, remember, Paul had refused financial support from the Corinthians when he was there so that the false teachers would have no grounds to accuse him of greed or manipulation. His motive was to protect the church. It wasn't about himself. It was about protecting the church and protecting the gospel message. And Paul would rather go without than give the enemies of the gospel an opening to slander the work of Jesus Christ. And so as true servants of God, we ought to care more, can I say, we ought to care more about the purity of the gospel than personal gain. We ought to care more about the purity of the gospel than personal gain. And I'm not just talking about the pastor, I'm not just talking about the church, I'm talking about every one of us as Christians. We ought to care more about the purity of the gospel than our own personal gain. And may I say, if we cared more about the purity of the gospel than our own personal gain, may I say we would probably do more about sharing the gospel? We would probably do more in sharing the gospel, but so many times we're concerned about our personal gain. What is this going to cost me? How's this going to affect me? And so instead of giving the gospel, we don't. Sometimes it's important as Christians that we understand that we must sometimes limit our own freedom to remove opportunities for accusation. This is what Paul was doing. He said, I limited myself because I didn't want the gospel to be impure. He said, I didn't want there to be anybody being able to bring any criticism against the gospel. May I say that integrity always outlasts imitation. Integrity, the integrity of the gospel will always outlast the imitation that we're going to find was not only in Paul's day, but even in our day today. And so Paul says, I want you to understand my purpose and what I'm about to do. Paul says, I'm not apologizing for this, but he said, I want you to understand my purpose in this is I care about you, I care about the church, and I care about the gospel. So watch what he does. Notice his warning in verse number 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. So Paul gives a warning here of the reality of false apostles. Now, remember, they were trying to accuse Paul of being a false apostle. And Paul says, hold on a second. You have to understand, there are going to be false apostles in this world. There are going to be those who claim the name of Jesus Christ who care nothing about Jesus Christ. And what's really interesting about this, as Paul is writing, he says, but such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Notice that they were not outsiders. This wasn't the world from the outside trying to come in. These were those who were inside the church. They were inside. That they looked religious. They sounded spiritual. They acted authoritative. They looked like they were in authority. And yet, what does he say? They were deceitful workers. Again, think about what he says. He calls them, they have transformed themselves into the apostles of Christ. They come saying they are representing Jesus Christ. They're coming saying, hey, we love Jesus. And they sound good in what they're saying. And they look very authoritative. And this was their accusation against Paul. They said, man, Paul, you know, his letters sound really good. But when Paul shows up, he doesn't look the part. There's no way he could be an apostle. There's no way he's an apostle of Jesus Christ. I mean, he didn't fit the mold, you know? And they're like, so Paul, there's no way he must be a false apostle. And he says, hey, wait a second. You have to understand, someone who's trying to lead people away from Jesus, if they're going to get into the church and if they're going to try to corrupt the church from within, they're not just going to stand up and say, I don't believe in Jesus. They're going to say, we believe in Jesus. They're going to say, we believe the Bible. But yet, guess what they begin doing? They begin to start subtly trying to turn people away from Jesus Christ, trying to turn people away from the Word of God. It's a subtle change. Look what he calls them, deceitful workers. They're working in the name of Christ, but for their own self-advantage. He says, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. It's all a facade, right? It's all a show. They've transformed themselves. It's all they've put on the costume of a true Christian, you could say. They're saying the right words. They may even end the message amen. Or they may even after the message say, boy, that was a great message. You see, they look the part, everything about them, they look the part. They're calling themselves the apostles of Christ. But he says they are false apostles. They're false apostles. They're fakes. They're forgeries. And what they begin to do is they begin to try to get you to just subtly and gradually start turning things slowly away from what Jesus has taught. They're not blatantly coming out and say, don't believe the Bible. But they will come in and say, well, you know, this is, you know, I know the Bible says this, but this is kind of what I think it means. We were talking about this in my Sunday school class this morning. You know, this is what I think. What do you think it means? Who cares what you think it means? What does God say it is? That's what's important. Doesn't matter what you think. Doesn't matter what I think. What matters is what does the Word of God say? But these false apostles will come and they'll try to just say, well, you know, what do you think? You know, I'm not really sure that that's what that means. You know, I mean, you know, there's a lot of different ways to view things. And guess what happens? They begin to start subtly changing the truth. You say, no, that can't happen. How about gender? Now look, friend, we're not talking about the world. I'm not talking about the world this morning. I'm talking about the church. I'm talking about those who claim to be Christians. And I understand not everybody that claims to be a Christian is a Christian. But you know, the Bible is very clear that in the beginning, in the book of Genesis, he made male and female. Period. So why do we have pastors and churches standing up and say, well, you know, maybe there's other genders and we have to look at these other people and you know, there could be some other gender. Wait a minute. God says there's male and female. That's it. Period. Well, that's just what you think. No, that's what God says. That's what the Word of God says. God says there is male and female. That's it. You say, well, look, what's happening is there are false apostles. There are people trying to distort the truth of the Word of God. They're trying to change what God has said. This is what Paul says. Hey, I'm trying to warn you here, these false apostles. How about marriage and family? Now trying to say that, hey, it's all right. You know, it doesn't have to be a man and a woman. You know, it could be a man and a woman and a woman. It could, you know, there's, we can just redefine the family and marriage. And wait a minute. You know what's sad? Is that there are many denominations that are saying, hey, it's, oh, we will accept. Now, please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Someone that identifies as a different gender or someone that identifies as LGBTQ plus and whatever that is, look, we love them. Please don't misunderstand what I'm saying here. We love them this morning and we want them to know the truth of the gospel, and anyone is always welcome to come to our church. Absolutely. We would love for them to come, and because we want them to hear the Word of God. This isn't what I say, this is what God says. Can I tell you something? God loves them just as much as he loved you and me. We have this idea that we shouldn't even let them come to church. What? You think somehow God loved you more than he loves them? Not a chance. He loves them just as much as he... By the way, you were a sinner too. I was a sinner too. Aren't you thankful that somebody took the time to show you what God said? But there are religions, there are denominations that are accepting this and saying, oh, it's okay. The Episcopal Church, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, the United Church of Christ, the Presbyterian Church USA, the Quakers, the Anglican Church of Canada, the Church of Scotland. These are just some of the ones that are saying, hey, they're accepting this LGBTQ plus and all of this. Wait a minute. These are churches, people that say they're Christians. How about life? It's amazing to me that somebody cannot admit that a baby in the womb has life. That baby has life. God gave them life. That life does not begin when they are born. And yet, people won't even call it a baby. It's really, again, what are we doing? We're trying to change just little by little. By the way, these things all just didn't just come at once. No, over years and years and years and years, they started changing little by little and little by little. What does the Word of God say about these things? How about women pastors? Look, I remember these two ladies came to me one time and they said, hey, we had this vision from God. God said, we're supposed to be pastors. And I said, you didn't get that vision from God. He said, how dare you say that to us? We had this vision from God and God called us to be pastors. I said, no, he did not. So how can you say that? Because God said a woman is not to teach or usurp authority over the man. That's what God says. Now, please don't misunderstand. I'm not trying to say that somehow men are greater than women. Not at all. Not at all. My wife writes every message that I preach. Just kidding. Is she even in here? I don't know. I hope not. Oh, she is. Oh, great. Oh, man. I am in big trouble now. Woo. Okay, invitation time. Let's go. No. God says he's given that responsibility to the man. It's interesting, when you look at the qualifications of a pastor in 2 Timothy, or in 1 Timothy, it says the husband of one wife. You know what that tells me? God said a woman cannot be a pastor. You say, well, you're just chauvinist. No, I'm not. Not at all. I am so thankful for the ladies in this church. God has given us amazing ladies in this church, and that many of them are very, very spiritual. I have no problem saying I believe my wife is definitely more spiritual than I am. I don't have any qualms in saying that at all. But you know what? God didn't give her the role to be the pastor. And by the way, we don't co-pastor. See, what does the word of God say? You see, these subtle changes coming in. Again, you think about all these denominations, all these religions that are now accepting women pastors, the United Methodist Church, the Episcopal, Presbyterian USA, Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, United Church of Christ, Church of England, just appointed an Archbishop of Canterbury, a woman archbishop, the Church of England. I guarantee you, that's going to cause a big split. Big split. Because there are many churches that say, wait a minute, the Bible says this isn't supposed to happen. You see, they're calling themselves apostles of Christ. They're calling themselves, hey, no, we love Jesus and we love the Bible, but let's just change a little bit of things here and there. Let's not just stick 100%. I mean, the Bible is an older book and we're in modern times. And friend, don't you think that when God gave the Bible, he knew we were going to get to 2025? Don't you think he knew that? I think he did. And I think it is he knew that, and I don't know what we're going to get to. I don't know where we're going to get to before the Lord returns, but I think he knew we were going to get to that point. And I think he understood that what he put in the Word of God would be applicable for every single age. Doesn't matter what age we're in. Doesn't matter how modern we are. We still have to go back to the Word of God. And Paul says, I want you to understand why I'm saying this. I'm concerned because these false apostles, they are deceitful workers transforming themselves into the apostle of Christ. You say, well, how do we know what's true? It's very simple. We test every message and we test every messenger by scripture. We don't test it by how well they can get up here and preach, right? We don't test it by, whether they sound really good or whether they don't. By the way, next Sunday evening, we're going to have the youth service. And these young men are going to stand up and preach. You know what your job is to do? Test their message. You say, well, we're supposed to do that? Yeah. I hope you're testing my message. I hope you make sure that when I preach every Sunday and Wednesday, that you go back and say, hey, I got to check and make sure. Was he actually accurate? Did he actually say what he's supposed to say? Did that really say what the Word of God said? You see, just because I'm the pastor, you don't just, well, he's the pastor. He must know what's right. We just follow him, believe him. No. No. Not at all. You get to the Word of God, you find out what does the Word of God say? Does the message line up with Scripture, right? Look, you can, I've heard, I used that illustration this morning as I was coming in. I thought, man, I really was. I was on 127 this morning. There was a bald eagle that flew. That is, I haven't seen a bald eagle around this area. I'm like, man, that's pretty awesome. God gave me a message. I'm on 127 and 127 days. Eagles flying east to west. You see, anybody can come up with anything and try to spiritualize it. Well, God gave this to me. Well, how do you know? Some of you, when I was saying that, you're like, what is he, where is he going? Is he really trying to stand here this morning and say that God gave him a revelation that in one, I guarantee if I would have kept going and if I would have just kept going, I guarantee you there would have been some people after the service and probably even during the service that would have said, whoa, hold on a second. You know why? Because you can't find it in scripture. There's no scripture. There's no scripture that says in 127 days, some eagle flying means this. No. Yeah, but somebody said they had a vision. Does it align with the word of God? Does it line up with scripture? It doesn't matter if it sounds good. It doesn't matter if they say God gave it to him. What does the word of God say? This is why Peter said, we have a more sure word of prophecy. Where do ye do well to take heed? He said, you better take heed to the word of God, not just what man says, because man can say anything. And we have pastors out in America and all over the world today coming up with new visions and new revelations, and this is going to happen, and this is going to happen. And you know what happens when their revelations, and by the way, did you know that we weren't supposed to be here? What was it, September 23rd, 24th, something like that? Jesus was supposed to come back. I wonder how many of those people that made that prophecy got stoned to death. Because that's what God says to do. You have a prophet that prophesies falsely, you take him out and you stone him to death. What'd they do? Well, we just got our date wrong. No, you didn't get a date from God. You tried to come up with your own idea. You're trying to make it look spiritual. You're trying to make it look good. He says, you better be very, very careful. This is what Paul is saying here. He says, you better be very careful. He says, for such are false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Not every person who carries a Bible preaches the truth that it contains. You better make sure you know the word of God. By the way, friend, that's why it's so important for every Christian to be in the word of God. You need to be in the word of God. Don't just take my word for it. Well, pastor said it on Sunday. No, friend, no. Don't take my word for it. You get in the word of God and you find out, is that so? Is it true? And if it's not, I expect some knocks on my door and say, pastor, we got a problem. Because what you preached doesn't line up with scripture. What you're saying, you know that vision you talked about you had? We can't find that in scripture anywhere. It's not there. He gives this warning of the reality of false apostles, but then notice the revelation that he gives. Notice Satan's strategy of disguise. The devil in disguise. Watch verse 14. And no marvel. He said, don't be amazed by this. Don't be shocked that there are false apostles. Watch. For Satan himself is transformed into an angel of darkness. Is that what he says? No. He says, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. You really think the devil's going to come out and be like, pitchfork, horns, tail, red and black, follow me? No. He knows if he's going to come into the church, he's got to transform himself into an angel of light. Watch what he says. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. The ministers of the devil, those that are following the devil, he says they're going to be transformed into the ministers of righteousness. Are they preaching righteousness? No, but it kind of sounds good. It's not the truth. It doesn't line up with scripture. But boy, there are some parts that really make it sound really good. Satan himself. Paul exposes the ultimate source behind spiritual deception, and that is Satan himself. Friend, do you understand? Satan never presents himself as Satan. He's never going to present himself as Satan. Satan always presents sin as good. He's not going to present sin as sin. He presents himself as a supreme intelligence who knows what is best for man. You say, how do you know that? Well, in the Garden of Eden, when God said, don't eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, the devil said, thou shalt not surely die. That God is keeping it from you because he knows the day that you eat of it, thou shalt, your eyes will be opened and you're gonna know good and evil. What is he saying? I know more than God. I'm the supreme intelligence here. Listen to what I say. Don't listen to what God says. That's what he does. He presents himself as the supreme intelligence. He's gonna provide real pleasure. He's gonna provide real enjoyment and fulfillment for life. And when Satan presents his way to men, it attracts, it appeals, it pulls man to want, to desire, to lust. And his ways always seem to be the way of light, intelligence, pleasure. He says, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. The devil doesn't always come with horns. He doesn't come with hatred. He often comes with light and language that sounds holy. Sounds good. Sounds good. Hey, it's okay to go to church, but you don't really have to be that dedicated. You know, it's okay to go to church, but let's not go every time they have church. I mean, surely once a week is good enough, right? I mean, once a week is good enough to go to church. I mean, think about all the other things that you've got to do. Think about all the things you're getting behind on at the house. Think about all the projects, the honey-do list, right? Think about all those things you're getting behind on. I mean, it's not going to hurt not to go to church every time they have church. Is he saying don't go to church? No. Not yet. You know, you don't really need to read your Bible every day. I mean, after all, I mean, you go to church once a week, the pastor preaches, you hear what he says. You don't need to read it on Monday and throughout Saturday. Just listen to what the pastor says. You'll remember it. Anybody remember what was preached last Sunday? I hope you remember. I wasn't even here last Sunday. Pastor Joel preached. He had a great message too. But you don't need to read your Bible every day. You see, what's he doing? He's not just coming out and saying, don't read your Bible, the Bible is bad. Don't go to church, church. No, it's just a little subtle things here and there. You don't really need to pray. You don't need to pray. I mean, you know, God already knows. You don't have to pray. I mean, for sure, you don't need to tell anybody about Jesus. They already know. Everybody knows about Jesus. You don't need to tell them about Jesus. You don't need to tell them to go to church. Everybody goes to church. Don't invite them to church. You see, what is he doing? He's transformed himself into an angel of light. We have this idea, oh boy, we could spot Satan if Satan revealed himself, we would see him. I don't think you would. Unless you examined him very closely. Because he's an angel of light. He's gonna sound really good. And it's gonna sound like, oh boy, this is something right. Surely God is pleased with this. He says, hold on, you better be careful. He's transformed himself into an angel of light. His goal is to confuse with the near truth. It's close to truth. Hey, we're not denying the family. Let's just include more in it. We're not saying that you can't have a family. We're not denying marriage, but let's say that marriage doesn't have to just be between a man and a woman. Marriage could be between a man and a man. Marriage could be between a woman. I mean, don't they love each other? Isn't God love? Friend, that's what they're saying in churches today. Wait a minute. God says one man, one woman. That's what marriage is to be, between a man and a woman. And what's really crazy is today in our society, we have to define a natural born man and a natural born woman. You say, what authority do you have to get up and say these things? I'm not. I'm just telling you what God has said. These aren't my words, friend. This is what God said. And this is why he said, Paul says, hey, you've got to be careful because the enemy is very subtle in what he does. He's going to come in and he's going to try to change things. His ministers mimic righteousness. Did you notice what he says here? Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of hatefulness? No, of righteousness. They're mimicking righteousness, but yet they're leading people away from it. You understand that the devil always tries to copy everything Jesus does? He always tries to copy everything Jesus does. And he tries to get us to think that his offer is better than God's. Again, you understand the devil is not against religion. The devil has always had religion. Why? Because he knows if he can keep people religious, he can keep them from God. Let me repeat that. If he can keep people religious, he can keep them from God. You see, religion and God don't equal. It's not the same thing. There are hundreds of religions in the world today, and many of them are far from God. Why? Well, you know, if you really want to know God, you just be a good person. If you really want to know God, you know, just come to church. If you really want to know God, you want to have that relationship with God, you want to go to heaven one day, you know, get baptized. You want to really know God, you want to have that relationship, you know, just keep giving in the offering. Friend, not one of those things God says to do to have a relationship with God. Not one of those things. He says, you want to have a relationship with me, you have a relationship with my son, Jesus Christ. Period. And yet, all these religions are saying something different. Why? They're ministers of righteousness. And we, again, we're not talking about the world. They're not deceiving the world, although the world is following a lot of them. They're deceiving the church. They're deceiving people that are claiming to be Christians. He always tries to copy everything Jesus does. He has a counterfeit gospel. The Bible says there's only one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. These false apostles say, no, you can believe in Jesus, but it's not just Jesus. They're not saying don't believe in Jesus. Just there's other something else. He's going to have his own Christ. Did you know that? The devil's going to have his own Christ. He's called the Antichrist. He's going to set himself up as Christ. Isn't it interesting that the devil's Antichrist is also going to be killed? And the devil's Antichrist is also going to be raised to life. I wonder where we've seen that before. Is that not what Jesus did for us? What's the devil doing? He's trying to mimic Jesus Christ. The devil has his own scriptures. Look, friend, there are a lot of other religions out here, and they bring in all other kinds of scriptures. The Mormons have their Book of Mormon, JWs, the Muslims, the Catholics, all kinds of religions, other scriptures. What's really interesting is when you look at these other scriptures, they contradict the Word of God. And though these other religions will say, oh no, we believe the Bible, when the Bible and their other scriptures contradict, guess which one they hold to? They don't hold to the Bible, they hold to these other things. And what's amazing is how many of these religions have been started, and you go back and you research, you think about the Mormons with Joseph Smith. An angel comes to him, right? You think about the Jehovah's Witnesses, Charles Taz Russell. There was a ball of light was floating around the room. You think about Islam. Guess what Muhammad says? An angel came to him. Isn't it amazing how all these religions get started by angels? By angels coming. By the way, Muhammad even said, he said, I don't even know if it was an angel from God or an angel from the devil. Well, that's encouraging. Right? And by the way, in Galatians, he says, though we or an angel preach any other gospel. wonder why God put that in there. Think maybe he knew that there'd be some religions coming out and saying, oh, this angel appeared. This angel came to me and said, this is the new way. Wait a minute, let me find out if it's a new way. What does God say? Nope. Not a new way. Not a new scripture. Not a new religion. Nope, not here. It's not here. This is what Paul is saying. You've got to be very, very careful. What does Paul say in Ephesians chapter 6? He talks about putting on the whole armor of God. Why? To withstand against the wiles of the devil, the craftiness, the trickery of the devil. Why? He doesn't just come out and say, hey, I am evil, follow me. No, he says, I'm righteous, follow me. I believe in Jesus, follow me. It's not just black and white. No, no, no. He's gonna get as close to the truth as he can to try to lead people astray and away from the truth. And this is why Paul says, hey, there are these false apostles. You know, a counterfeit bill looks very convincing. Very convincing, because it resembles the real thing. The more subtle the forgery, the more dangerous it becomes. People are always trying to forge money, dollars. The U.S. dollar is the number one currency that is forged in the world. Another one is the euro. Another one is the British pound, the sterling. People are always trying to forge them. They're always trying to make fakes. And that's why in order to find out if one is really a fake or not, you've got to take a fake one and you take a real one. You can look and you can examine it. There's different things they put in the real one so you can decipher that this was the real one. You've ever seen at a grocery store or Walmart or something, you'll see somebody maybe in line or maybe it's happened to you. You hand them a $50 bill, you hand them a $100 bill, and they pull out a pen. It's a little marker. You better hope something shows up. Because if it don't show up, it's a fake. When they put that little pen mark on there and it shows up yellow, it shows that it's real. What are they doing? They're testing it. They're testing it to find out if it's true or not, whether it's real or not. You know what God's saying? Hey, there's a lot of fakes out there. There's a lot of forgeries out there. You know what you and I have to do? We've got to take the truth. We've got to take what is real and we compare it to what is fake and we're able to say, hey, it sounds really good, but it don't work. Doesn't work with this. So you know what? Not gonna follow it. Not gonna listen to it. We have so many people today, so many, unfortunately, Christians, they will spend hours listening to what someone says on YouTube. They'll spend hours listening to what somebody says on Instagram and TikTok and all these things and not one time open the Bible for themselves. Not one time crack the Bible. Oh, but this guy says this and he sounds really good and she said this and this is amazing and this is the newest thing out there. Get in the Word of God. You stay in the Word of God. That's the only way you're gonna know the truth from what is fake. And this is what Paul is saying. Hey, he says, hey, they are trying to deceive you. They're trying to corrupt you. And all they care about is themselves. They don't care whether you die and go to hell or not. They don't care whether God blesses you or not. All they care about is themselves. Paul says, I'm trying to give you a warning because the devil in disguise is dangerous. He's dangerous. These false teachers were succeeding not by denying truth outright, but by diluting and distorting it. And as Christians, you and I have to be alert. We have to look closely at the Word of God. Test what people are saying. You test what I'm saying. You check it with Scripture. Any man that stands up in this pulpit or in any of our classrooms and teaches from the Word of God, you better be checking. You better make sure that what they're saying is the truth. You see, spiritual discernment is not being suspicious. It is a commitment to compare everything with God's Word. I want to know if this is true from God's word, not just because Pastor said it, not just because Dr. Brian said it, not because Pastor Joel said it. I want to know it's true from God's word. And we check it. Paul reminds us that spiritual deception is not only real, it is relentless. And the best defense against falsehood is not to fear, is not to be afraid, but it's familiarity with the word of God. Because here's what he says. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, but watch, whose end shall be according to their works. God says one day they're going to be destroyed. One day they're going to be revealed that they are deceitful. One day they're going to be revealed that it was all just about self. And here's the thing. If you follow someone simply because of what they say, if you follow someone because they're charismatic or whatever, when they fall, guess what's going to happen? You're going to fall. You're going to turn away from the truth. You're going to turn away from the church because you were following a person instead of following the word of God. But I can tell you this, if you follow the word of God, whether I fall or anybody else falls, if you're following the word of God, you're going to keep going. You're going to keep going. Because you're not following a man, you're following the truth that we find in Jesus Christ. When we know the genuine light of Christ, no imitation can deceive us. That's why he says in Psalms 119, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Christians, we've got to know the word of God because there are false prophets, there are false apostles. They are transforming themselves into the ministers of righteousness and apostles of Christ. And they are deceiving the masses because we think, oh, sounds good. And we don't check it with scripture. Hey, the devil in disguise, he's dangerous. And we've got to know the word of God. We've got to know the truth of the word of God so that we can know what is true and what is false. Father, I pray you'd help us, Lord, to truly, as Christians, to get into your word, to follow you, to know what is right, so that when false apostles and these false ministers of righteousness speak, that we will know what is true and false. Lord, I pray you'd work in hearts this morning. With every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking about, I wonder maybe if there's someone here this morning, you say, Pastor Andrew, I'm not even sure if I'm saved. I'm not sure if I died that I would be with Jesus. I thought maybe just by being a good person was enough. I thought by getting baptized was enough. I thought, you know, by coming to church, I thought that was enough. And I'm not sure what it means to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And I'd like to know how to have that. I'd like to know how to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ so that I can know him, so I can know God. Is there someone here this morning who say, Pastor Andrew, that's me? In my heart, God is speaking to my heart. Friend, nobody's going to come to you, not going to embarrass you, but I would like to pray for you this morning. If that's you and you say, Pastor Andrew, I'm not sure if I have a personal relationship with Jesus, would you just slip your hand up and put it right back down? Nobody's going to come to you. I just want to pray for you this morning. Just slip it up, put it right back down. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. You can put your hand down. Someone else. Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm not sure if I have a personal relationship with Jesus. I'd like to know how to do that. Friend, in just a moment, we're going to have an invitation. The piano's going to play in just a moment. When the piano does begin to play, if you would step out from where you're at, I'll meet you right down here in front. And we'll have a man, if you're a man, if you're a lady, we'll have a lady take you and show you from the word of God, not what we think, but God's word, how you can know how you can have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Christian, if you're here this morning, you say, Pastor, I know I'm saved. I know where I'm going to go when I die. Praise God for that. But do you know his word? Do you know his word well enough not to be deceived by these ministers of light, these ministers of Christ who are false ministers? Christian, every one of us needs to get in the word of God. We need to know his word more so that we can be able to distinguish what is true and what is false. because the devil wants nothing more than to deceive the church and to deceive Christians into doing nothing for Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray you'd work in our hearts this morning as only you can. In Jesus' name we pray. With our heads bowed, our eyes closed, we're just gonna stand quietly. The piano's just gonna begin playing softly. Friend, if you're here this morning and you raise your hand, you say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I'm saved. If you just step out right now, I'll meet you right down here in front. We'll have a man talk with you or a lady talk with you. We'd love for you to know from the Word of God how you can be saved. If you raise your hand, just step out right now. I'll meet you right down here in front. Christian, has God spoken to your heart this morning? What is it that God's speaking to your heart about? Friend, if you'd like to know how to have that personal relationship with Jesus, just step out, come forward. I'll meet you right down here. Friend, if we're going to be discerning, we've got to know the scriptures. We've got to know the Word of God. Don't listen to the lies of the devil and think, well, you don't need it just but once a week. Oh, you're good. No, friend, we've got to be in His Word. We've got to know it. I'm amazed at how many Christians could be so easily deceived and led astray because they do not know God's Word. They think, well, I didn't go to a Bible college. I'm not a trained preacher. No, no, friend, you don't have to be a trained preacher. You don't have to go to a Bible college. You just get in the Word and you study God's Word. You have the Holy Spirit of God just like I do. And He's going to help you. As you learn His Word, He's going to help you to grow. The devil's going to do everything he can to disguise the truth, to keep you from it. Are we going to get in His Word? Father, I pray you'd help us, Lord, every one of us as Christians, to truly have a greater desire and a love for your Word. We might know it, we might follow it, might lead us in our life. We can be able to distinguish what is true and false. Lord, there's many false teachers out there. Lord, help us follow your Word. Lord, help us this week even to use the opportunities we have to speak of Jesus and to tell others of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.